response you get when you experience the effect of your voice for the first time. A reverberation down the tunnel of an open cave. The opportunity to bellow out a coo-wee at the top of your lungs to hear it return from the other side. It's an echo which is the extension of the one real voice ringing out far beyond the source. But knowing what you and I are like, I know what you're like, I know what I'm like, we must test this out more than once. Only to discover that this echo will never disobey the real voice. It must only ever repeat what is said to communicate over and over as far as it will spread. Never giving up is this echo, no matter how many times it is said. To accomplish every word that is spoken, only to be delivered to the ears of all that are there. Its effect is not only heard in a cave, but down beyond valleys and canyons and across the mountain range. Who doesn't love hearing their own echo in a cave? The echo that sounds just like your voice, penetrating everyone who is in earshot from the source of where it came. You see, God's love is experiential. His love is not so far removed from us that we would not be able to experience it at all. His love is firstly laid out on a cross that Jesus would most certainly die, not to remain there, but to be raised from death to life. So Jesus is the example of God's love that we transfer as an echo. An echo that everyone may experience this love of God and Jesus. A love so pure and divine. It is an essential element that is needed for all who come to Christ. To know God's love in Jesus that is echoed throughout all of time. Is the love that is displayed by the reverberation to return to the source, that he may be glorified. Before I go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful this morning, Lord, like we've been expressing so far this morning, we are not in lockdown. And so, Father, we, as good stewards, come together to meet, not out of ticking a box, but, Father, we come to meet together as your church by the expression of God's love that was displayed before us on a cross. That you, Lord Jesus, showed the example of love. That you are the source of love, the essential necessity we need for our lives. That this example that you have shown to us on the cross would be so that we may echo this love to all who are our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Father, guard my mouth from error. Help us to only retain, O Lord, what these oracles mean from you. So that, Father, as we walk out of here, we may gain a greater knowledge of you, yes. But as we come to read your word this morning, we see that your love is experiential. So that just as we experience your love, we now go and transfer this love to one another. Help us to see more of you. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So as we begin, I want to give you a little bit of context to help us to set the scene, to allow us to see what John is showing us here. So there is a drama unfolding with some of the early church. a drama where there is a lack of love being exhibited amongst themselves. The same love that John is referencing that characterizes all Christians as true children of God. And so it is here that we begin to see the reason for this letter, that John in verse 1 explains for us clearly that the love which originates from God is to be conveyed amongst the church. So let us start. 1 John 3, chapter 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So the Father gives us his love, a gift of love, a transfer of his love when we become his children, children of God. But those who do not know him do not know his love. And because of this lack of his love, they do not know his children either. And so the letter is to address the character of the true children of God, in whom are to be recognized by the love of God. Therefore, we come to know God by his love, and his love is what separates us from this loveless world. But his love must be more than just an intellectual knowledge, more than just head knowledge. Rather, it is to be experienced by all who have received his love, who are called children of God. And we, therefore, come to know God's love the day we believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is where we come to our first of 4 points in this sermon, 4 points which will help us to remember what some of the early church was concerned for, was lacking amongst themselves. The 4 points which all start with the letter E. So the first thing we notice and point out is experience. We must first experience God's love, to know his love. Let me show you what I mean. So in our verse 16, by this we know love. By this we know love. The word know comes from the Greek word gnosko, which translates to mean to personally, intimately, and experientially know something. To know. To know, we come to understand that it is also an experience of what love is. And as we come to know what love is, we see God's love is not just an intellectual assent. It is also an experience we discover at the cross of Calvary. An experience we learn from the original source, God, in whom sent his only begotten Son to the cross and deliver us up from the evil one. His love is experienced by the works, the life, the death, and the resurrection from the dead. That this Jesus is also the display of God's love we have come to know and experience through our salvation. The unmerited favor of God, whom chose us to be his children, even though we did not deserve it. So let me show you who our Jesus is. 1 John 3, verse 5. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. So he appeared here on earth, fully man and fully God, who walked among us to remove the sins that held every man captive. Now, how did he do this? By his perfect, sinless life displayed before the whole world. But let's keep going. What else did he do? Verse 8. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, appeared that we may experience God's love by the removal of the bonds of sin and to destroy the works of the devil, so that we would be children of God, children who are delivered from death to life. Did you see that? Jesus' mission is based on the will of God, which was demonstrated by the selfless act of love, in order that we may experience it through our salvation. And this sinless act of love is the example we follow, which leads us straight into our second point. Example. The love of God and Jesus Christ is our example. God's love is not only experienced at salvation, but Jesus is the example we follow. As John noticed and mentioned it by exhorting the brothers to love, we are to follow the example set out in Christ. Let me show you our great example, the exemplar, Jesus Christ himself. So 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. He laid down his life for us. Jesus is the example of the true love of God. An example by which not only demonstrates the laying down of his life, but it is also the result of the laying down that lifts all believers to life. He must become the curse of the world by lowering himself to the point of death in order that we may be raised to life. This is our example, the example that we live by. You see, the example which some of the church John is concerned for did not consider him to be an example at all. Rather, the example was not recognized, and as a result, the love of God and Christ was not considered essential for their lives at all. And this is where we go straight into our next point. So point number three, essential. The love of God is essential for our lives. It is not only an experience, nor is it just an example for us to live by. But the love of God through Jesus Christ is essential for our lives. And how do we know this? So if we go back to 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. For it says we ought to do something, an imperative, a command that we must do. But how does a commandment become an essential need in our life with Christ? Let me show you. So in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Firstly, we are to abide in his love. And how do we abide in his love? Let's go to the next verse. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. If you do this, then you will get this. If you keep my commandments, then you will abide in his love, just as Christ has kept the commandments of the Father and loved us, we then love as he did. To remain in his love, to continue to love as the Father in Christ has loved us. So his love becomes essential for our lives. And this is also the same connection that is made during the Last Supper, where Jesus is giving some of his last instructions. And he says to his disciples in John 15, verses 12 to 14, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." So we keep his commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us. To abide in Christ is to abide in his love. Think about it. Imagine for a second, life without Christ is a life without love. And without love of God and Christ, there would be no resurrection, which means there would be no salvation. There would be no forgiveness of sins, and there would be no defeating of the devil at all. There would be no point or any purpose to anything in your life without the love of God right now. Therefore, beloved, God's love is essential for all of our lives right now. And this essential love is what moves us to the very next point, to be echoes of God's love now. So point number four is echoes. We are echoes of God's love in Christ. Remember the illustration at the beginning? The illustration of the echo that I gave you earlier? Well, let us now use the echo, beloved. We are the ones who will sound out the love of God that was experienced through Christ, in whom is the example of love itself. But let me not just tell you, let me show you. Let's go back to John 3:16, so we may see how we are the echoes. "So by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Do you see the real voice? The one who laid down his life for us is the one we reverberate throughout the world. By being the echo of the source of love, we lay down our lives for the brothers. We are not the voice, but we are just like the voice, laying down our own lives as a participant of the extension of God's love that reaches out far beyond the source. To repeat the love of Christ and communicate this love with all those who are children of God. And it is not just a one-time affair. But just as we are all reliant on the sufficiency of God, who is essential for our lives, we too relay this love by exhorting one another and building each and every member of the body of Christ, which is you. You may ask yourselves, do I love each one of Providence like this? Or how do you know your brother loves you unless it is expressed from the love of Christ? The laying down refers to the lowering of ourselves, to take the attention off ourselves and make ourselves less significant for a moment and spend that time concentrating that effort on another family member of each one of you. And so we echo God's love like Jesus Christ, who gave up all of himself to ensure we would lower ourselves by raising the child of God sitting right beside you. I hope you heard that. Because if we are echoes of the real love of Christ, in whom we experienced and show it to those who Christ love, then this love proves that we are children of the God of love. Do you see what was lacking in some of the early church that John was referring to? And that's why you see the contrast when you go through the entire chapter of 1 John 3. You see there's a contrast. Who are Christians, who are not? That there was a lack of love for the brothers. And that lack of love actually leads to death. Let me show you what I mean. Verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Whoever does not love, well, that would mean that they're not a child of God, because God does not abide in him. But those who have life in Christ can be assured that we are children of God because we love the brothers. John is saying, and he's saying it, that there is no alternative. There is only love or the opposite. And what's the opposite? No love for the brothers. And if there's no love for the brothers, then there should be an alarm going off inside, which is why John is continually revealing the great contrast of those who have passed out of death into life and those who are still unable to love. And why? Because they do not know God and are callous towards us. And they are callous towards us because they hate us. And let me show you, verse 13. So 1 John 3:13. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We are not to be surprised, because we were just like that at one point in our lives. We were self-absorbing citizens of the devil, in whom had no love and unable to understand love, because we neither knew God nor his children. So instead of love, the intention of the heart of the world is characterized by what is abiding in them. And if there is only death and no life, then life has no meaning to them, because their life is what they can make for themselves now, what they can accumulate in their life, what they can accumulate in this life, and ignoring the life that is to come. The life that is given in love from God is therefore folly to the world, who cannot love, but rather hates God, because there is no love for him, because there is no benefit to the life they want now. They neither acknowledge the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who gave up his life for us. And so there is no life, but instead death. And death hates the love that comes from God. And so the world hates both Christ and us. And as we see in John 15, verses 18 to 19, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Though the world hates you, beloved, look, it hated the Savior first. The world hates Jesus Christ and therefore put our Savior to death, which is actually what must take place in order to display God's love. Did you see that? The world hates Christ and puts him to death, which is actually what must take place in order to display God's love. So what the world hated and put to death is what God loved to bring to life. Do not be discouraged. Do not be downcast because the world hates you. Remember, this is no surprise. But look to the cross, beloved. Look at what our Savior has done for us. He chose us. He chose us, filthy sinners, and plucked us out of the world. He chose to love us. He chose to lay down his life for us. He chose us, beloved, to separate us from the hate of this world and transfer us to life so that we would experience the example that is essential to our new way of life, so we would be echoes of his great love. And this love that we echo is the outworking of the love of Christ that now bears fruit amongst the children of God, amongst the church, amongst you and I, beloved, which John was exhorting for us to do. And what he wants us to do is to be a people who are an echo to the watching world and therefore glorify our God. And how do we glorify our God? By bearing fruit as echoes of his love that abide in him. John 15, verses 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So we become echoes of God's love by bearing fruit, which is to love one another with the love that comes from God. We ought to love one another, ought to, as a command, lay down our lives for the brothers. But just as we adhere to the greatest commandment, to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and even our neighbor, as we saw last week in Brucey's sermon, we now love one another. And how do we love? By laying down our lives as an echo of Jesus Christ. And this, by the way, ought to be a normal response, beloved. Though it is an imperative, a command, we ought to love this way anyway. And why? Because we are children of God now. We don't try to make a better version of ourselves, but we are God's children right now. We don't add to ourselves, oh, I need to add more patience, if only I had more patience. Beloved, we are his children now. And as we look to verse 2 of our chapter, we see it more clearly. So verse 2, beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. We shall be just like him, beloved, because we are children of God now. And if we are just like Christ, just like the echo, then we love as the new creations, the new beings we have become. And so we have a new identity. This means we are no longer citizens of this world who hate one another, but we have been transformed to live new lives by loving one another, because Christ now lives in us. And how does Christ live in us? Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if Christ lives in me, the one who loved me and gave himself for me, we put off our old selves and put it to death and live our new lives, our new identity now. And if we do this, we become the echoes of God's love now. So we put off the old selves and put Christ on now. As Paul says in Romans 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. We put on, beloved, we put on the Lord Jesus, leaving no room for our flesh. And we put on Christ, the new identity the new creation, and live in the sphere of Christ, the children of God, in whom we have been called to be right now. Jesus Christ is the exemplar to the love of God, the source of love for us all. That just as Jesus is our example, in whom loved us by laying down his life for us, we continue to experience his love among the brotherhood of Christ by laying down our lives for the church, so that his love that was given to us, that is essential for our new lives, becomes the echoes of his great love to all who believe in him. That is how we reverberate his love through the church. And just like the echo which reverberates to his children, that same echo returns to the source, so that the source may receive all the glory of the love that began before the dawn of time. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are the great example. You are the one whom is essential in our lives, that we need you. And since the day of our salvation, have we experienced your love. But Father, let us not stop there. Let us continue, O Lord. Continue this great love to be echoes of Jesus Christ. That just as John was warning some of the early church, O Lord, Father, let this be nourishing for our souls today, to know that your great love is not only extended amongst the brotherhood, but as is extended amongst the church, O Lord, is it reverberated back to you. So that, Father, your love is experiential, so that we may glorify you in all that we do. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.